God, praise God. God is awesome. All the time. Amen. Now, let me ask a question this morning. How many here has ever been a caregiver? I want everybody to raise your hand. If you are a father, if you are a mother, if you are a son, if you are a daughter, if you're a professional, a fireman, policeman, EMT, if you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, if you are a chaplain, if you are a pastor, if you're a mom taking care of her children and taking care of her mother, if you're a father taking care of his wife or taking care of his children, his father's mother, we're all caretakers. So every last one of us in here, every last one of us, different degrees, but we are all, every last one of us, caretakers. And I'm hoping today something's going to happen special and it's going to help you in a very powerful way. The Bible says, let's all stand for the reading of the word. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It's our final installment. This initially is going to be a one-week sermon. And it's not being a four-week. If you count the snow, it's been a five-week. Be not deceived, verse 7, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I want to put that in a different context. A lot of times we have that in the context of, you better watch out. Because you go ahead and get, you think God's not watching, you better do what's right because God's got it and he's going to get you. But let's do it a little different way today for caregivers. God is not mocked. Satan's trying to mock God to you and saying that all you're doing is not worth it. That all it's doing is wearing you out and taking you down. That it's too much for you to bear, it's too much for you to handle, that God's playing a trick on you. Let me tell you something. God is not mocked. Watch you sow. You're going to reap, which is even including what you do for somebody else. God's going to bring it back to you many, many, many fold, but he does it in his way and in his time. So I say amen. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not, here's our sermon for today, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, y'all say due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Well, come on, y'all do it with me. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and you are well. I know, God, that you, Lord, are waiting and just watching and waiting. Saying you're watching all the seeds that we have planted. And as we cultivate them, you're watching them grow. We can't see it because it's underground. We can't see it because it's in the dark places. But you see it and you know. And you're doing a mighty work. And one day, when those seeds come up, what a wonderful, wonderful harvest it's going to be. Some of us get our harvest faster than others on some things, and some things we have to wait. But God, I thank you for no matter what, you got this. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. You be seated on the way down. Tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. I was weighing myself the other day on the scale. And I sucked in my stomach, and Linda looked at me and laughed and said, ha, that's not going to help. I said, yes, it is. That's the only way I can see the numbers. Yeah. I was talking to Brandon this morning, you know, because I had a coworker one time ask me and said, can you be any more annoying? I was in there singing, you know, like I was playing the bass and singing praise and worship. I was in engineering, and some of those engineers, you know, they don't have any humor. I'm having a good time. One of the guys said, could you be any more annoying? So the next day I wore tap shoes. Ah! All right, here we go. Plain talk about our harvest. Just give you a few things, then we're going right into caretaking, okay? Well, I ain't talk about the harvest. Now remember, the Bible says in Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth endures, there's going to be seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And again, I just have to open with this. For those who haven't seen this part, they need to see this. 2020 and 2021 is if so many people are feeling helpless and hopeless. But if you're a child of God, you're never helpless and you're never hopeless. God gives us principles. So if we can, look, I'm not following the polls. I'm not following what this group says and that group says. I want to follow what the Word of God says. And when I follow what the Word of God says and I follow His principles, every principle that God has in His Word, there's a direct promise connected with that principle. And I'm thanking Him because when I carry out the principle, there is a promise. And when that promise is fulfilled, provision is the what comes afterwards. So, again, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he shall reap. And I want to do this again. I can't get this enough. Whatsoever. He's saying whatsoever you sow. We think it's just all about change in our pocket. Nope. Whatsoever means all your words, all your deeds, all your actions, all your inactions. Every last one of them. They're the seed. So it says whatever you sow with, that's when you scatter. Scatter means you just throw it all out there. Also, sow means to invest where you planted in rows, and it shall happen. You're going to reap a harvest. Okay? So now, let's watch this. So I'm almost ready to jump into the new one, but I got to hit this right here, and then we're going to go. The last couple of weeks, here's what we've been talking about. We reap only what has been sown. If you haven't got this, let me know. I'll get this to you, or you can look on Facebook or on YouTube, and you can see these sermons. You can watch them all over again. We reap only what has been sown. We reap the same in kind as we sow. You sow kindness, you're going to get kindness. If you sow anger, you're going to reap anger. If you sow goodness, you're going to get goodness. If you sow mercy, you're going to reap mercy. Okay? So we reap more than we sow. We talked about the apple. You can count the number of seeds in an apple, but never can you count the number of apples in a seed. And we took a corn stalk and we showed planting one ear of corn, one piece of corn will yield about 750 pieces of corn, which is a 75,000% increase. And so we never know what kind of increase it's going to be, but it's going to be in proportion to what we sow. So now, here we go. Y'all ready? Here we go. Due season. Somebody say due season. Somebody say it's about time. It's about time. Come on, it's about time. All right. So now, we reap in a different season than we sow. Did you know that? We reap in a different season than we sow. Now, sometimes that season's soon. Sometimes that season may be years down the road. George Mueller was an evangelist, and he talked to his neighbor he witnessed to him for 45 years about salvation. And the guy kept refusing salvation. Do you know when he got saved? He got saved at George Mueller's funeral. I'm here to tell you what you've done. You may not see it in your lifetime, but somebody's going to benefit and you're going to see something come back. So for in due season, now watch this. This is very powerful. You've got to watch this. And here it goes. Look, it refers to an occasion, a set or proper time, a convenient or due season. And of course, time means due or short time. So remember this. Once you plant that seed and the due season comes in, this is God's appointed time, not ours. We don't tell God. I see guys on television telling, you give me $1,000 and you tell God you want that car and you give me $1,000, God's going to give you that car. Really? Okay, so now God's a genie. Just rub the bottle. No. You give it unto God and you trust Him and He'll take care of your needs. That's what He promised, He'll take care of your needs. So there's an appointed time. And it cannot be changed by us. We can't speed it up. Okay? We cannot. The Bible says again in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now let's go ahead. Y'all say, lower the plow, Pastor. Lower the plow. Here we go. I'm so expecting that plow to be lowered so far, I'm going to go and get me a lifesaver. So I won't cough in the middle of it. Amen? I'm allergic to plastic flowers. All right, ready? Ready? Here you go. Listen carefully. Look at that. I love that picture. That picture is so awesome. Don't grow weary doing and well doing, for we shall reap, and we faint not. He's helping a friend up. Amen? Now watch this. Grow weary if we faint not. We reap the full harvest. Y'all say full. The full harvest only if we persevere. The full harvest only if we persevere. So now, let's just talk about this for a minute. It says, do not be weary in well-doing. Because God's watching, and if we don't give up, we're going to get that full harvest. So watch this now. Grow weary. What does that mean? It means more than just taking a breather. Okay? We're going to get down to business now. It means more than just taking a breather. It means more than quitting. Okay? That word weary there means to be absolutely miserable, to lose your courage, to be, you know, it's an attitude. It starts out as an action, and it becomes an attitude which feeds the action, which feeds the attitude, which feeds the action. And pretty soon you're going to sit here and say, how did this happen to me? How could I allow this to happen? Everything was going so good. And right now, I could care less what happened. Remember, growing weary is a process. And the word for grow weary is actually something to the effect of fading away. It can happen so gradual that you don't even notice it. It can happen so gradual that you don't really know that it's happening. You know, a rock, can be cut with a steady, small stream of water. Some of us, we're rock, God. Nothing can change me. I'll be like this, God. You can trust me forever. And one day you wake up and you faded away. And you don't understand. What happened? You see, it doesn't just say grow weary, fade away, because you're growing weary, but watch this. He throws something in there in well-doing, doing the right thing. You see, watch this. This is the picture of someone quitting with the finish line in sight. When I was a football coach and a baseball coach, and I've done this, I've said this a bunch as I watched my granddaughters playing softball. When you're running to first base, you got to run through the base. They're coming at you. You don't get close to the base and slow down because you're scared they're going to hit you. You got to run through the base. It's going to be okay. They're not going to penalize you for going over the base. Don't stop. Give it all you got. Don't stop. In order to get on base, you can't slow down. You can't stop and take a bow. You can't look behind you and see what you got to go ahead and give it all you got and run through the base. But a lot of times when people get put out at first base, it's because they got the finish line in front of them, but they got to stop and look and see what's going on around them, and they get tagged out. How many times have you been right that close, and stopped? Wow. So now watch this. That word faint means to quit. Or to quit trying. I read an interesting story, and the first time I heard this was years ago, and it was so crazy that I had to look it up because I said, there's no way this can be true. It's very true. How many has ever heard of the Chinese bamboo tree? There's a tree called the Chinese bamboo tree. Let me just kind of give you some stuff about it before I tell you how big it gets. This tree has a seed that is so hard that when it's planted, it will do nothing above ground for 5 years. You don't see it. You can't smell it. There's no leaves. All you got to do is trust that that seed is where you left it. You got to make sure that at least you keep the ground cultivated. Nothing happens the first year. Nothing happens the second or the third or the fourth. But you have to water and care for that seed all those years, seeing no results from your labor. Wow. Think about it. You water it, you fertilize it, you take care of it, and all you see is a piece of ground. Matter of fact, you kind of feel like you buried it. You didn't bury it, you planted it. There's a difference in burying and planting. Burying, there is no future. Planting, you're looking for a future. Burying, there is no growth. Future, you're looking for growth. Burying, there's no life. Sowing, there's life. So watch this. In the fifth year, the seed breaks through the soil and it begins to grow into a tree. And it grows so fast. Watch this. In fact, the Chinese bamboo tree has been recorded at growing upwards as, listen, in the fifth year, 3 feet a day. True story. About 90 feet in a month. You can literally stand there and watch it shoot up. It has actually been timed at approximately growing 1 inch every 40 minutes. 5 years, nothing. What you can't see in the dark, while you're working on your best to cultivate this thing, is that in the dark place, in the dark time, you could not see that God was developing a dynamic root system. Because there's no way a 90-foot tree could survive without a dynamic root system. It's got to have a good foundation. So it's developing and preparing for growth, but you don't see it. It's in the fifth year. After you give everything you got, in the fifth year you see it grow. Some of y'all in here, oh, come on now. Some of y'all in here have been sowing and sowing and sowing in certain areas with certain people. As a caregiver, you may be taking care of your parents. You're taking care of your neighbor. You're taking care of somebody. And you're sowing and you're sowing. And that parent may be sick, may have dementia, may have Alzheimer's, and they fuss at you and they cuss at you. And some even times they even might hit you. And or you got a child that's got a handicap, and that child is constantly messing up, and you're constantly sowing and sowing and sowing, but you don't see any fruit coming up. All you see, like with that bamboo tree, is you're cultivating and you're fertilizing and you're watering, and you don't see a thing. Wow. Wow. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not in vain. My friend, let me just talk to you. Let me dig a little deeper. I want to dig a little deeper. Y'all say, let it plow down more. All right, here, I'm glad y'all said that. But you work, and you work, and you help, and you help, and you do all you can. And because all you do is you sow, but there's no reaping, you become weary. What's the reasons for weariness? Let me just tell you this. First, we're going to talk about the weight. Now, there's two kinds of weights we're going to talk about. The first weight is W-A-I-T. Listen carefully. Remember I said you quit with the finish line in sight? Why do we quit with the finish line in sight? It's because although the finish line may be in sight, it's out of our sight. We can't see it. You cannot see it. You want to so bad, you want to believe so bad, but you cannot see the finish line, and so you quit not knowing. A lady, I think it was the English Channel, she was swimming the English Channel, and they were beside her, and they were trying to get her, you know, trying to encourage her. The first time she was swimming with all this encouragement around her, it was foggy, and she just couldn't go any further. It was foggy, she could not see the finish line in sight, and she quit just a few meters before she swam the channel. Because she couldn't see the finish line. So she goes back again, trains more, and this time has a team with her. And the team is directing her and telling her and letting her know how close she was to the finish line. And so this time, she didn't quit in what she was doing because she knew that victory was in sight. Some of you in here right now, you can't see the finish line. You're trying, you're doing all you can, and you don't see the finish line. And Satan is telling you that God don't see you. God don't care. God could care less about you. He's just playing a joke on you. You're just his little wicked stepchild. He could care less about you. And I'm here to tell you, God is not mocked, especially by Satan. You may feel like things are getting out of hand, but I promise you, there is a finish line. You may not can see it, but God can. And God knows how much you can bear, how much weight you can take. See, that's what it says. God knows how much you can bear, so He will, with every temptation, will provide a way of escape so that we may be able to bear the load. Didn't mean that He's going to make a door where everything's taken away. That doesn't say it's going to be taken away. He's going to help us. He's going to show us a way to carry that weight in a good way that we're not going to give up. So there's a second weight, the W-E-I-G-T. Get ready. First, there's the where. When you're a caregiver, and I've been doing this for 30 years, plus before I was a pastor, I remember watching them take care of my great-grandmama, then take care of my grandmama, and then we helped take care of my mama, and I just saw all this stuff along the way. And as a pastor, man, oh man, I've seen people after people taking care of their husbands, their wives, their children, and watching this go on. And what happens is, many times, the weight of caregiving, your resources become strained. Not only do your resources become strained, sometimes they just become drained. You've got no more to give. You give everything you can give. You've tried. You said, God, with your help, we're going to do this. And then Satan is in one ear saying, he don't care. He's not watching. He could care less. He's left you out here to sink all by yourself. But you got to remember something. God is watching. God does care. So now watch. So now, you feel strained, you feel drained. Your mind, your might, your body, you start breaking down in your body. Your money, your resources, your minutes, your time. I think about this all the time when you're taking care of people. Your mind, your might, your money, your minutes, they all just seem to just be worn out beyond compare. And watch this. There's the wave. Get ready. You ever been here? We watch others pass. Get ready. They have plenty of verbal help, advice, but they offer a little real help. Don't they just make you feel so good when you're trying to do the best you can? And somebody comes by and tells you how to do it, but they won't lift a hand to help, especially when they got a pony in this race too, and they're not helping. They're just telling you what to do. And they don't have any idea what they're even talking about because they don't even see it. They're not there. And so it's during all of this, your mind has become strained. Your body is breaking down. Your money is dwindling away. Your time seems like it's robbed from you because you're a caregiver. And you're giving it all you got. And others just back away and look at you and wave. I remember at Procter & Gamble, I actually got hired and put in the warehouse specifically for this. They were getting ready to go to computers and PLCs, and they were getting ready to have this device called the unit load former that would take the place of 10 people easy, 10 people at the minimum. And this machine was so massive that it ran through three different warehouses all the way up to the front where the lines were, production lines. And it took everything down. Nobody had to drive a truck. Nobody had to pick it up. Nobody had to count it. And the computers would count it. And the computers would take care of it. We were the first people in Greenville to have lasers. And we had lasers. And this was really awesome. And it would form unit loads that we didn't have to do anymore. It would do it for us. And it would stretch wrap it. Supposedly, all we had to do was reach out on the back and pick it up. It was already ready to go. Saved the place of 10 plus people. In order to operate this, it took a person to operate it. It took a person to drive, and it took a technician to keep it going. Well, because of budget cuts, we had 30 people on the team when this was going on. We got down to 11 and 12 people on the team. The workload had increased. And I remember, because I was the trainer, I was training guys on this, and I was the guy that did the troubleshooting. My boss man got this great idea. Let David do it. He knows how to drive a truck. He can work on the truck. He knows how to run the unit load for me because he's the one that trains everybody else. He knows how to operate all these machines. He can work on all these machines, all these PLCs and computers. And said, we can save two people and let David do it all by himself. Everybody liked that idea but me, because it would work me to death. And I remember nights when I was trying my best to work on it, to repair it, while I was trying to operate it, while I was trying to move product. It took three people. Sometimes it took even more, and I was doing it all by myself. And I'd be up there, and people would ride by, and they would see me. And I'm hollering, help! Help! You know what they would do? Either this, turn their head like they didn't see me. Or they'd take their hand on their steering wheel and go, keep on going. I had no idea that God was training me to help caregivers. But he showed me. I was doing a job that required three plus people. I was doing it all myself, carrying all the weight. And they would get mad if I couldn't keep up. And later on, I realized God was saying, welcome to the world of caregiving. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever felt that way? So now, let's go a little further here. I know this might not be what, especially what you were hoping for today, but it's coming. Reasons for hope. Why should I be? You just painted the worst picture in the world. I want to go out and run my car in the ditch. No, hold on. We ain't through yet. We got a couple of weeks coming up. It's going to help. How to keep going when you got nothing left is going to come up next week. So hold on. Get ready. Reasons for hope. Let's go to the Word of God. The Bible says in Matthew 25 and 40, he says, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You get tired of going to Pitt Detention Center? He goes, no, you're not just going there to deal with bad attitudes. You're going there because when you do it to them, you're doing it unto me. You get tired of going to caregiving and getting fussed at and cussed at? He says, we've done it to the least. That word least means to be least in size, to be least in strength. When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. But God, don't you understand the least of these requires a whole lot more work? The least of these takes a whole lot more out of thee. The least of these is a lot more strenuous. And he goes, all he says is, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. I haven't been to B5 in a couple of weeks because of COVID, but I do talk to them on Tuesday nights when church is over. And those guys got up there last week, and there should have been a little unit all by themselves, but instead, because they needed units for COVID, they took the trustees and put in the same block with them. And the trustees said, we don't care about your program. We don't care if we're making noise. We don't want to do anything. We just want to be here and play cards and get out of here. And for 2 weeks, that guy get on the phone, get on the computer, look at me and go, man, they're about to drive me crazy. Said this is not right. And I go, well, this is jail. They didn't ask your permission. They're going to do it. And last week, Eddie happened to be sitting across. And one of the guys said, watch this. He said, you know what? The oldest one in the block. He said, you know what I did? I said, what'd you do, man? He said, I took the very last thing you told us in group. And I tell them all. I said, what is that? He said, you said I used to complain about not having any shoes until I saw a man with no feet. And he said, that seed you planted has helped me go through these weeks with all this mess going on. And he says, I tell my guys all the time, fellas, it's going to be okay. It's on how you look at it. So I thanked God that God was using something very special that I didn't have any idea was even be. Matter of fact, I wasn't sure if they were even listening. Hebrews 6 and 10. This is Mighty Army this morning. God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other believers as you still do. DC's not here because he's doing working his hours to get his certification as a paramedic. Asking this morning, how's it been going? He said, Daddy, I've had 9 deaths in the last 3 shifts. And I sent him back a text. Welcome to the world of advanced caregiving. It don't get any easier. And I told him I was proud of him and I loved him. God is not unjust. He's watching. He's not mocked, and He's not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for those around you. Amen? Get ready. Therefore, my beloved, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. And then finally, where we started, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. What it tells me is, you can't stop my blessing. But I can. Think about it. You can't stop it. You can try your best to stop it. You can't stop it. But if I quit, if I grow weary, and I quit doing it, I can abort the mission and mess it up. Amen? So watch this. I'm getting ready to close. We can't do anything about last year's harvest. There's things last year I sure wish I'd have done different. Amen? I mean, here there's things last year you wish you'd done different. You cannot do anything about last year's harvest, but you can about this year's. Luke 9:62 says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, for y'all, you've seen me do it so many times. For y'all that might not understand this, I got to get out here and do this. No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back doesn't say you're not going to go to heaven. That's not what it means. It says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Watch this. Plowing, you got to keep your mind on what you're doing. And if you're doing this, guess what you're not going to do? How many times have you been out in the field working for God, but instead of doing this, kept looking back? can't change last year. There's nothing I can do about last year. Nothing. It's over. It's done. Satan would love to beat us up over last year, beat us up over things before. But you know what? All you can do is give it to God and ask God to show you how to do it better. Watch this. If you're looking back, here's what it brings choices now. There's a difference in a stare and a glance. Okay? If I'm going to stare, there's just going to be regret. It's going to hold me back. It's going to be like that guy running to first base. And he's so busy looking around him that he misses it. But if you just glance now, take the life lessons and learn to move forward with those life lessons. Okay? I'm getting ready to close. Brandon, get ready to play something for us, bro. Ready? Don't give up. Your season has a due date. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there's an appointed time for everything. I didn't say that. God said it. Appointed time means that God's in control. God's in control, not me. I can do actions, but you know what? He's still in control. I've got my own will, but he's still in control. There's a due date. And some of y'all, you feel like you're overdue? You're not. God's got this and he's in control. 100% in control. I want everybody to stand. I'm going to tell on myself. One night I was working the ULF all by myself. And I got mad. I know y'all never get mad, but I did. Cases were backing up on me, and these cases weighed 40 and 50 pounds apiece. They're all in the way. They were sitting down with tape connected together, and I was trying to take care of all that. And I was really having a rough time. I was trying to work on the machine, repair the machine, or operate it, repair it, and take care of these cases. People were going by just doing like this. And so I got angry, and I took the cases because it's three stories up. I took the cases, and I stood to the rail, and I started throwing them over. I don't mean like garden variety, trying to make them land like, you know, somebody's trying to make, no. I was mad. I grabbed them big, the diapers, these are adult diapers. I grabbed them at 10s, and I grabbed them, and I was throwing them across, and I was throwing them as hard as I could throw them, and I was trying to work on this, and I was screaming, and I said, I don't know who you think I am. And I mean, I know y'all can't believe I did that. I didn't know the supervisor was watching me. At the end of the shift, I'm walking out. And he looked at me. He was a Christian. He's the one I watched that actually drew me in to get saved. Well, just watching his life did something special, and it helped me to give my life to Jesus. And so he sits up to me, sits beside me, a mentor of mine, and I go, man, this has been a tough night. And he said, I'll get ready. He said, if you're advertising what Christianity ought to be, I'll take my chances with Satan. I said, didn't you see all that? He said, don't you know everybody else was watching you? You were cutting a rug up there. I was expecting some comfort and a little pity. And instead, he kicked my hind part all the way out of that plant. He'd kick one time, the Holy Ghost would kick again. He'd kick and the Holy Ghost would kick. The next day I said, God, I've been saying, God, take me off that ULF. The next day I said, God, put me back on that ULF. Make it hard. Make it hard. I want to show these boys what you can do. My whole attitude changed. God was glorified. And it was amazing what happened after that. I just needed an attitude shift. And even to this day, when I find myself getting a little roughed up on the inside, I say, God, it's time for another attitude shift. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's real easy to become weary and well-doing because a lot of times you're doing it by yourself or you're doing it with little or no help. And it gets rough. And you forget who you're doing it for. You're not doing it for that person or that agency or your workplace. I wasn't doing it for Procter & Gamble. I was doing it for God. I had to realize I was doing that ULF for God, not for Procter & Gamble. And it helped me so much. It wasn't long after that I got pulled over to the side, the head man, and I got a promotion. But it wasn't because of what I had started, but of the way I finished. And even to this day, I'm constantly telling God, God, adjust me, work on me, get my attitude right. Because I'm not doing it to those people that hurt me. I'm doing it to you. I'm not doing it to those guys that pit the detention center that want to cuss me and threaten me. I'm doing it to you. I'm not just doing it for these people around somewhere else that are talking junk. I'm doing it to you. Because you see, when I've done it to the least of them, I've done it to you. God, I know it gets weary. I know it gets tiring. But I'm not going to fade away. I refuse to fade away. Sometimes I'll talk and I'll say, this is getting tough. And I'll tell somebody, a confidant, this is getting kind of tough. And I'll say, but I'm not talking about quitting. I'm just talking about this is getting tough. But I know God's got something in store, so I'm not quitting. I just need to let somebody know that I can share with. It gets kind of tough sometimes. So I'm glad you're there. I can talk to. But no, I'm not quitting. I'm not fading away. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Every last one of you in here, you're caregivers in one way or another. Not only you're caregivers, you're called to do good. You're called to show the world what it's all about. And when you do good, I had to do good on that ULF. When God showed me, I wasn't showing, I wasn't doing good. I had grown weary. I had faded away. And God showed me I needed to get back in the game. I needed to get my head back in the game. I needed to get my attitude right. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask. How many in here, nobody looking around, nobody can see you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You'll say, Pastor, I have to admit, and I don't mean necessarily that you're a caregiver right now. You could just be on your job or wherever else, something. And God's called you to do good, but you've grown weary. How many can say, you know what, and put your hand up and say, yeah, you know something? I am growing weary. I am. Would you put that hand up? I'm just going to pray for you. I'm growing weary. I really am. Lord, touch them all right now. Bless every hand that went up, those that wanted to put them up and didn't. Because there is a reward. You're watching. You give us a promise that you're not mocked and that you will not forget. You've got us. You're watching us. You're not going to forget what we do. And no matter how bad it seems, we're not doing it to them. We're doing it to you, God. You're watching. You're taking care of this. I'm doing unto you, Lord. And I thank you that you trust me enough to let me do that. Let's all pray together. Lord, help me to adjust my attitude whenever it needs to be. And God, help me remember I'm not doing it to my coworker. I'm not doing it to the prisoner. I'm not doing it to the person I'm taking care of. I'm doing it unto you. And I thank you, God, because you're counting every action. You're counting every tear. You see what's going on. And you're going to take care of business. Because you said you are not mocked. You're not going to forget. I'm not going to listen to the world. I'm not going to listen to Satan. I'm going to listen to you, God. And I'm going to keep it going. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. One more thing. Maybe you're here and you haven't gotten necessarily to that point, but you see it around the corner. You see it coming. Say, God, if something don't change, wow, it's going to get tough. They're saying, God, it's like now they got these booster shots out. Whatever vaccination you get, there's a booster shot for it. There's a booster shot for the COVID shot. There's a booster shot for the flu shot. There's a booster shot for the single shot. There's a booster shot for whatever kind of shot you got. Maybe right now you and God are okay, but you just want a booster shot. Because you see down the road might not be so great. Something's coming. Winter's coming. There's going to be a time you're planting that seed and cultivating that ground and you don't see anything come up like that Chinese bamboo tree. And you need some strength ahead of time. Let's pray together. Lord, you know my future better than I do. You know the obstacles. You know the pain. You know the things that I'm going to have to endure down this road. I ask you right now to enable me to keep my eyes on you, to keep my hand on the plow and my face in front. And I thank you for it. Let my past serve as lessons. Let my past be a sail, not an anchor. And I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.